Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
And this is Reverend John White from Lilydale, New York. Welcome to the Journey of Our Light. Well, Lilydale season will be opening up soon, and there'll be thousands of people parading up and down the streets, getting readings, going to classes, going to the healing temple, and just enjoying beautiful Casadega Lake. And so we welcome you to come, and we welcome you to go on to LilydaleAssembly.com, LilydaleAssembly.com, and you will get the summer season. So summer is upon us now, and the spirit of Lilydale is awake and alive and very well. There is approximately 50 mediums here that work at Lilydale, and approximately 30,000 people who come here to seek counseling, to seek communication with our loved ones who have passed on. As spiritualists, we know without a shadow of a doubt that death is just an illusion. Death is just a change of life. And we go into the next dimension, and we believe, we know that we can communicate with our loved ones who have passed on, because the bond of love never, never changes. The bond of love never goes away. I personally do not believe that I live after I pass on. I know that I live after I pass on, because most of my relatives that have passed on, I have seen them, I have dreamt about them, I've seen them in visions. They have given me proof without a shadow of a doubt. So spiritualism is a science, a philosophy, and a religion. And so when we say it's a science based on natural law. And one of the natural laws is that when you meditate, you go into the same place that you go to when you sleep at night, but you're wide awake at the same time, so you get to use different parts of your brain. And in that part of your brain, that's where your intuition is. I love the saying of Einstein that the intuitive mind is a gift. The rational brain is a faithful servant. We have created a society where we honor the servant and forgotten the gift. So there is a science to communication with people who have passed on. And throughout time, throughout the Bible, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, and other holy books, they were all written by people who meditated. They were all written by people who used what is known as artificial intelligence. And that artificial intelligence is really intuitive, higher intelligence. For instance, when we talk about the Bible in Corinthians, the gifts of the Spirit. So one of the gifts of the Spirit is the ability to discern the Spirit. The ability to discern the Spirit, which simply means the ability to sense, communicate, and recognize our loved ones who have passed on. So when a spirit or an angel comes to you, that you were able to tell what the intention of the spirit is, who they are, because they give themselves away by their energy field. And we teach you how to do those things at Lilydale. So when Jesus said, these things I do, you can do also, and even the least among you can do all that I do, and even more. We all have this innate spirit inside of us that if with focus and practice and discipline, we can awaken these gifts of the Spirit. Awaken these gifts of the Spirit. So how are you tonight, Joyce? Joyce will be joining us in a few moments. Joyce? Okay, Joyce will be.
Hi, I was just connecting our first caller, Morgan from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
She has a question. She wants to know if you can sense any of her loved ones in spirit around her, and if you can, what message might they have for her?
Sally, this is
Morgan. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Morgan. How are you tonight?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let's see what we can sense around you. Oh, that's interesting. Do you have a friend that passed on? Now, this may sound ridiculous, but do you have a friend who passed on who smoked a lot of pot?
I do.
Isn't that interesting? Who are they to you?
He was a friend and an ex-boyfriend.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that amazing? Okay. I believe that he came right away because, they're just a thought away. He tells me that you frequently feel his presence. Is this true?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And there's also a comfort of love. He's talking about a respect that he has for you. Okay? Now, this may sound a little unusual, but he has, don't misunderstand this now, he has more respect for you now, he says, than what he realized when he was in the world.
Yes.
Okay? Because I feel as though he's saying to me that you have really helped him, and he kind of wishes that he would listen to you a little bit more. Okay? Was this passing very suddenly?
It was very sudden.
Yeah, because he's telling me, he's giving me the feeling of how unfortunate that was, and he wasn't ready to go, but he is at, he's definitely at peace now. So,
okay.
Sometimes, now, you know, they can come through any one of the five modalities, and sometimes we will smell or get an aroma of a fragrance that reminds us of a spirit. This may sound unusual to some people may be listening, but he may give you the aroma of pot, okay? He may give you the aroma of pot, and then you know right away who it is, okay? Now, he has a little bit of an unusual sense of humor, and that's why he's, I don't know if he's teasing us or he's teasing you, but that's what he seems to be doing. I can't figure out what it is. He had, I think, a dog or a cat in his arms. Did he have a cat or a dog? Did you lose a cat or a dog recently? Or?
A dog, yes.
Okay. He seems to be, I don't see the dog, but he seems to be cuddling it in a very, very special way. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, yeah, he seems to be cuddling in a very special way. And so I get a feeling that, he thinks that you're very intuitive. He thinks that you could do some of these things that I'm doing. Do you consider yourself psychic or a medium?
I feel like I can sense, I sense them in dreams and stuff, like family members, and sense them around
me.
But that's about it.
And how long? Okay, well, that's, honey, that's a lot more than a whole lot of people. Okay? So we definitely want you to acknowledge that gift. You know, I want to say to you that you have the gift of help for some. I want to say that to you. I just want to say that you have the gift of help. You know, when we have our help, you could say we almost have everything because we can't do anything without help, okay? Maybe I'm saying something to you that you've been wondering about, but I really did get a feeling that you have the gift of help. Okay.
Yeah,
okay, so,
I've been wondering about that, so thank you.
Okay. Well, God bless you. And thank you very much for tuning in tonight. And come and join us at Lily Dale sometime.
Thank you very much.
Okay? You're welcome.
Oh,
honey.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So we're just talking to a young lady whose boyfriend came in a very unusual way. But what do we know? And how are you doing tonight, Joyce?
Fantastic.
Okay.
We have David on the line with us, calling from southeastern Massachusetts, just south of Boston. And he wants to know, when a medium is giving messages via normal mediumship, are they channeling or are they receiving messages? David, are you here with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay. So what you're really asking is, what is the difference between, there's different phases of mediumship. So you're asking, what is the difference from channeling and or a medium giving messages to a person? Is that the question, David?
Correct. And just real quick, the reason why behind that is because I'm new to mediumship. John,
okay.
I find myself making a lot of actual like quotes, like what the person would say. And they go, oh, my God, you know, that's exactly what my mom would say or whatever. So I've been doing a lot of that. And I do a lot of stuff like with my hands and things like that. So it hit me last night. I'm like, I think I'm channeling. You know what I'm saying? Does that mean that we're always channeling? Do you think when we're doing mediumship? Thank you.
Yes, it's okay, David. It's all a matter of degree. Some people think that you have to be in a trance in order to channel. No, that's not true. Okay. Sometimes when I'm giving a talk on a stage, all of a sudden I'll feel the presence of one of my teachers, and I'll notice that my mind is sharper than normal, and I'm very focused. And you could say I'm channeling the teacher. Now, the teacher or the being on the other side of life uses the knowledge that we have in our brain and channels it, and sometimes, of course, we're able to get things beyond our knowledge.
Okay.
So channeling is just a matter of degree. Sometimes you could, for instance, you could walk up to a person and you could start talking to them about like cars, okay? And you may say something like, "Oh, I really like Mustangs. What do you think about Mustangs?" Out of the blue, you just may find yourself saying that to a person, and you didn't know that person was just thinking about buying a car. Their grandfather had a very special Mustang, and you were thinking whether they should get one or not. So I believe everybody channels all the time, okay? The difference between a medium and someone who knows their medium and someone who doesn't is that, let me ask you a question. How do you tell the difference between an intuitive thought and a rational thought? How do you, as an individual, tell the difference?
Yeah. Quite frankly, I think a lot of the time it comes from the feedback from people. They always say that I feel like they're there. I feel like they're right there. I feel like you're them. And then, like I'm saying, throwing in a supplement. I mean, this has been happening recently. And then throwing in the body actions and all the other stuff. I just feel like everybody says the same thing. I feel like they're there with you. So I think it's, for me, it's important to get more of the presence of the person. Because, quite frankly, I'm not sure how many people do know, or if it's just being a really good clairvoyant. A lot of times I use my empathic abilities, and if I didn't have those, I'm not sure if I would be able to do it, quite frankly. So that plays a major role for me, John.
Empathic, that's very interesting. So empathic, like, for instance, our minds are in every single cell of our body. So when a medium is tuning into a person, you not only observe what's going on in your head, you also observe what's going on inside of your body, because you as a medium become an extension of the person that you're communicating with.
But I describe things a lot. I describe the environment. I describe favorites. I told one lady exactly what she had on her countertop and what it looked like, because I always ask for a message. So, you know, it's so...
That's called remote viewing. That's called remote viewing. You know, you ever hear of a person by the name of Edgar Casey?
Yeah, I do. The Sleeping Prophet. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, for instance, he would how he worked, and I can do this also. For instance, how he worked, he's at for instance, let me just give you my example. If you say someone's name to me who's physically living, all I need to do is think of them and intuit that I am them, pay attention to my emotions, and my emotions become their emotions, and I can start talking about the environment they're in and how they feel, what's going on in their life. That's remote viewing. That is one of the extensions of the gifts of the spirit. Now, mediumship, think of mediumship like a tree with many, many different branches. And it's kind of really neat that you kind of discovered your branch, okay, that you've discovered what works for you and your specialty. So I only want to simply encourage you to develop that more. Neat.
I'm definitely working on it, yeah. And I just want to say one more thing before I'm done. Well, you guys are awesome. I'm really glad you guys came to Blog Talk. I learned a phrase yesterday, and I don't know, maybe my guide led me to it. But there's a new term that's coined, clair empath, like it's a type of clair, but they're using it as clair empath. So I just wanted to let you throw that out there and let you guys know. I just found it.
Okay.
I don't know, you know,
that's
new things pop up.
Okay, like clair.
Clair empathic.
Yeah, so clair
empathy.
That's very good. It's clair empathy, yes. There's clair sentience. Now you say clair empathy. Thank you for that term.
You're welcome. I just found out yesterday it's just a meshing in between the both of them, and which incorporates much of the elements that you just talked about, the remote viewing, the feeling of presence of being there, and things like that. So, I love you guys. I'm glad you're on the air, and thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.
God bless. Can I stay in
today? Pardon me? Thank you. Okay. Clair empathy. Okay. That's neat. So there's clairvoyance, there's clairaudience, there's clairsentience, there's clairgustions, and there's clair empathy. Okay, I really like that a lot. Okay, so at Lilydale here, we teach you how to work with the different modalities of the spirit. So like the young man who just called in and he was asking about channeling. And I believe everybody channels. Like, what I'm trying to say is everybody slips in and out of their intuitive brain. But the only difference between some of us is some of us know when we're doing it, and we know how to reproduce that mind state. We know how to reproduce that frequency. And when you learn how to reproduce that frequency, then you can develop that specific gift of the spirit. Okay, so it was a beautiful day here
John,
at Lilydale today. Yes. Go ahead.
Now, we actually have a question from a musician, and before we get to it, I wanted to ask you your opinion on why you think musicians and artists statistically have been found in academic studies to have the highest rates of intuition. Why do you think that might be, artists and musicians?
Okay. Well, I have to tell you a secret first, okay? I was in a rock and roll band, all right? And I was tone deaf.
And what was the name of that rock and roll band?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You would ask that question. It was called 5 Minutes to Live. Well, that's kind of like, maybe that's time and medium now I talk about. Anyway, okay. Anyways, well, music and artistic skills come from the right side of the brain. And an artist basically has to use their imagination to create what they want to create. And a musician also basically is working with different frequencies, and intuition is based on a higher frequency. But the artist is someone who has to use their imagination, their creative imagination, and they visualize it, they imagine it, and then they manifest it. So it is literally coming from the same part of the brain. It has to do with creativity. And that's why Einstein said imagination is more powerful than knowledge. Okay, do we have another caller, Joyce?
Well, we actually had an email question from that musician I mentioned. His name is Ian, and he's calling from, he emails from Pelham, New Hampshire, and he has a twofold question. Number one, this is a light question now. He has a guitar in transit, and it's missing, and he's wondering if you can pick up when that might show up. And the second question is he's very strongly considering changing his jobs, but he doesn't know if he should take the risk. One boss's name is Peter, and the other one is Jim.
Okay, let me go there. So we won't mention, we do not say the name of the person who wants to know him because it's just out of privacy. So what's the name of one of his bosses?
Pete,
let me go visit Pete. Well, the impression I got when I go visit Pete, and I'll only say this because we're not going to say the name of the person that's asking this question, is I get a feeling he'll end up being very disappointed with Pete. He's not going to follow through on the promises that he made. And so in the end, he may end up being very discouraged. Now, it doesn't mean that that job won't be okay, but the opportunities that Pete basically says he's offering, it's not really happening. Now, what's the name of the other boss?
Jim.
Okay. As soon as I go visit Jim, I feel that man is very practical. Okay? So, in that way, his attitude is, well, show me what you can do, and if you do well, then we'll reinforce you. Okay? So the Jim person obviously believes in a lot of hard work, a lot of focus and dedication, but I feel like he's a very fair person. Okay? Yeah, he's a very fair person, and that's exactly what I get.
Okay, and there was a third option, and that was with JetBlue. And there's no name associated with that, but just JetBlue, the airplane company.
Okay, let me go there. When I go visit JetBlue, it's not because it's an airplane company, aviation company, but I get a feeling of there'll be a lot of long distance traveling, and I get a feeling of he'll be shifted around in many different places. It almost feels like a full-time, part-time job. Okay? Full-time, part-time. And sometimes we get a full-time, part-time job when the company doesn't want to have to pay all the different benefits. So they allow us to work just underneath the level where they have to give us all the benefits. But if he does decide to work with that company again, I get a feeling of there'll be a lot of traveling, okay? And it also could be shift changes. Shift changes literally means that he would be called upon to work sometimes overnight and in different shifts. But if he stays with them over a long period of time, I also feel that they will be fair. But that is a long road, okay?
Okay, and the final question with this guy, Ian is the name. Do his spirit guides have any advice for him as far as his best career path?
Okay. Maybe this is one of his ancestors says he should be a stand-up comic. Okay. Yes, he has communication skills. Okay. I really believe
what?
He does. He has communication skills. Okay. And also I feel that he's a leader. Okay. You'll get some people that are kind of like shy and very introverted, but you give them a subject that they love to talk about and they're very passionate about themselves and they really come out of themselves. Okay. So I really feel he's a leader. As I am talking to him, remember the mind, the more that we talk, the more the mind gets. I'm at an airport with him. I feel as though I'm in aviation.
I feel like I am in aviation. So I have to leave you with that. Okay?
And did you get the guitar?
No, I'm sorry. I can't find my own keys. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Or when it's going to show up.
Going to show up. Well, it's lost. It's gone. Is it true that he lost it?
It's lost in transit. It's supposed to be delivered to him.
Well, I don't know. I can't say something I don't know. I really don't know. Okay? I don't know. I hope it goes. I hope it comes back in one shape, good shape. Okay. Okay, thank you, Joyce. Thank you.
You are listening to Journey of Light with Reverend John White, a registered medium at Lilydale, New York. If you'd like to call in with a question or to share a story of a mystical or spiritual psychic nature, we would love to hear from you. 818-739-8818. Again, that number is 818-739-8818. And the theme of tonight's show is developing your psychic abilities, your mediumship skills. John?
Okay, I want to remind people that during the season, every Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. in the Healing Temple here at Lilydale, we help people to awaken their higher self. We talk about mediumship and how the natural laws of mediumship, spirit guides and angels, and how to turn on your intuitive abilities off and on at will. So that's every Sunday night here at Lilydale during the season. And we have a very special course coming up this summer also, July 19th, 2018, from 7 to 10, July 19th, 7 to 10 p.m., learn how to integrate Eastern and spiritual disciplines and enhance your intuition and mediumship. So this is bringing together the mysteries and mystics of India and other Eastern countries, and how that applies to our mediumship. And then Labor Day weekend, we have a course Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. We have it every year here at Lilydale, how to awaken the higher gifts of the spirit. And we also have yoga being taught here at Lilydale. So every Saturday, what is the time of the yoga course? What time does the
yoga
course happen?
Bright and early, 7:30 in the morning on Saturdays, every Saturday.
And where did you learn how to teach your yoga?
Rishikesh, India, the foothills of the Himalayas. They call it the yoga capital of the world. So we got to meet all sorts of yogis and babas over in India, including the very famous 106-year-old yogi who actually passed away a few weeks after we left. So we got lucky and we got to see him before he transitioned into the next world.
He was still teaching at 100, wasn't he?
He was still teaching at 106 years old, and everybody loved his classes, and they loved seeing him in his little underwear. He was very animated, very healthy, never had a cavity, never had any surgery, never had to take any pills. He was healthy until the end, and I believe he just passed away peacefully in his sleep. So he did a lot of fire breaths. Maybe that was his big secret.
Okay. Yeah, and here at Lilydale, we're teaching Eastern mysticism and Western mediumship. And I was with Joyce actually when we went to India. That was a beautiful, beautiful trip. And Rishikesh is actually where the Beatles went a long time ago to learn their transcendental meditation. Okay, so here at Lilydale, We teach many, many different courses, everything from how to meditate to how to develop the gifts of the spirit. And we have many, many different mediums who are working here at Lilydale and literally teachers from around the world. Do you know that Lilydale is actually the largest spiritualist community in the whole world? Isn't that amazing, Joyce?
It is. I think some people don't realize that it is the largest spiritualist community in the world. And, you know, tens of thousands of people come every summer. They come primarily from the United States, but we have a lot of Canadians and people from overseas. And in fact, we're very blessed to have Tibetan monks come almost every year. They're coming this year. They typically open up the Lilydale season, and they will be this year on June 29th is the first day they're there. And if you hang around, you might get to shoot a few hoops with them. They do like to play basketball, and I hear they also like Burger King, surprisingly.
They like, well, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, there's the Tibetan monks who are the healers are pure vegetarians, but the Tibetan monks who are not the healers aren't a pure vegetarian. And so they seem to incorporate whatever skill or abilities they have. They do it wholeheartedly, and they seem to incorporate their diet with that skill. Okay.
And they do. They will be. They do teach. They do teach people how to do that. I don't know what it's called. That throat breathing.
Yes.
And they told me, I went to that class. Yeah, I guess only men can do. There's a certain sound that they make that only men can do. I don't know what the name of it is, but they will teach people. So aside from their ceremonies, they do
teaching, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I many years ago, I had the opportunity of meeting the Dalai Lama in Montreal. And I personally believe that I was a Tibetan monk, and I did live in Tibet a long time ago. And some of the things that I'm doing in this lifetime are because of what I did in that past lifetime. And as soon as I learned how to meditate in this lifetime, it awoken those gifts of the spirit. And here at Lilydale, we help you to awaken your gifts of your spirit. The young man that was just calling, we talked about mediumship is like a tree with many, many different branches. And some of us will be very good at healing, or some of us will be very good at giving messages. Some may be very good at going into a trance. Some may be very good at doing inspirational writing or psychometry. There are many, many different gifts of the spirit. So when you come to Lilydale, you'll see all these amazing mediums. And if you see a medium that you like the way that they work, this is called mind mapping, that if you can learn how they think, what their practices are, and what their disciplines are, then I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, you can awaken the same gift inside of you. And so we have many, many different students that come here, and we have an opportunity 3 days, every 3 times a day here at Lilydale, we have what is known as the stump, where people can go out twice a day at the stump, and they can give messages. And then we have the fourth temple outside also, where you could give messages. So it's a great environment if you definitely want to learn. Now, Joyce, you teach meditation during your classes.
I do. I teach meditation and yogic breathing techniques, a few little psychic development. It's actually yoga for psychic and spiritual development that we teach. In fact, when I worked with at-risk teenagers, we did some of those meditation and breathing techniques, and it was amazing how receptive they were. And because these teenagers were not normally the type of people who have a lot of quiet and peace in their lives, in their everyday lives. So it's truly a blessing and a tool that, you know, people bring into their daily lives for, you know, helping to cope with, you know, different things. I mean, you know, aside from spiritual development, well, I guess everything really is spiritual development, but, you know, helping to deal with anger and frustrations. You know, they would tell me that the techniques, the meditation techniques and the breathing techniques actually would help. They found themselves just naturally doing these special breathing techniques during stressful times, and it really helped.
That's beautiful. You were telling us about the 106-year-old yogi who did, what did you call it, the fire breath, or did a very specific breathing exercise?
Yes, and I know it has different names. In fact, that's something we learned when we were in India, is that, you know, there are different, you know, different teachers teach, you know, the same pose has different names, but also we learned there are many ways to do the same pose. So, you know, you could go to 10 different yoga schools and be taught 10 different ways. So that was also interesting, you know.
Yes, there's something called Kapalabhati, or the fire of breath. And people who know what is known as Kundalini yoga practice that. In fact, that's a discipline that I learned many, many years ago, and I almost do it every single morning. And so, and I used to teach here Tai Chi at Lilydale, and the word Chi means energy. So it's all energy, that's all there is to it, you know. Create the frequency of the health that you want or the mind state that you want. And so the masters have taught us that we can learn how to control our life force through our breath, okay? So the more beautiful life force you have moving through you, which is called chi, or maybe called prana, or maybe called ki, depending on what philosophy you come from, it's the life force. And when we learn how to manipulate and work with that life force, then basically the amazing healing powers that come from that. Joyce, when you and I were recently in Hollywood, Florida, they did something called Reiki healing. What is Reiki healing, Joyce, in your own words?
Well, my background is actually with Qigong healing, so I'm not the person to talk about Reiki healing. I understand that there are similarities, you know, it's a form of universal energy healing, you know, with the basis in, you know, love, just like, you know, Qigong, the universal forces of love and of course forgiveness are powerful healing energies. So we, you know, actually when I was here in Boston doing some healings on the John of God crystal bed. And there's a woman who came to see me, and she told me this amazing story about her sister. Her sister was just a teenager, and she fell into a coma, and the doctors actually never found out why. She was in a coma for 6 months, and it did not look good. The doctors actually thought if she ever came out of it, she was going to be a vegetable. They gave the family no hope whatsoever. Well, a couple of the nurses were Reiki healers, and they secretly did Reiki on the sister. Now, I know that might be a no-no to some people, that, you know, you have to get permission first. But aside from that, they did it. Okay, whether or not they should have, they did it. So they did it in secret, and the sister who came to see me was also a Reiki practitioner, and she came in and decided she was going to do the Reiki as well. And they could see in the heart monitor when they did the Reiki, her heart started all of a sudden beating in a more healthy manner. And the sister woke up the day after her older sister performed Reiki on her in the hospital. And she's fully recovered today, and she was supposed to be a vegetable.
So, isn't that amazing?
You know,
it's that sacred energy. It's that sacred energy infused with love. That's what Reiki healing is.
Right, and there's all sorts of different, there's all different forms of healing, and you know, spiritual healing and energy healing, but they all have, you know, they all have a wonderful benefits. And you know, it's one thing to feel peaceful and nice after, but we know there are many, many instances where there's no disputing how powerful it can be. Now, in fact, we actually have an email question from a Lilydale student who wants to come this summer and take classes, but she is asking, her name is Lindsay, and she's actually from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and her question for you, John, is should she take the time out of her schedule to come and take Lilydale classes, or should she stick around and help out her family? What is her higher self telling her to do?
Okay, say her name again to me.
Lindsay.
Okay, I already got it. I really feel as though there's let me do this in an astrological way. You know, if I was an astrologer, and I'm really getting it, I would say I'm in her astrological chart, which is the map of the, which is also, that is saying map of the Akashic Records. It says that she would study, her Akashic records say that she would study intuitive sciences at this stage of her life. Okay? And this is, if she does that, she could really change, put her life on a whole new road. Okay? Now, she also, I can understand the struggle inside of her that she's thinking that, well, maybe my family's going to be a little bit disappointed at me that I didn't stick around and help, okay? But I get a feeling if she, and it doesn't need to be a Lilydale, the whole question is, should she be studying spiritual sciences at this stage of her life? Most definitely, because that's part of her Akashic Records. That is part of the agreement that she made with her soul. And it is written in the stars. It is written in her astrological chart. I'm really sensing that she's actually a very gifted medium. She's like a beautiful lotus that, as time goes on, will come out, and she will awaken her higher self. And I'm being told that she has to get this healing. And she also could end up being a very good speaker, inspirational speaker and teacher. So I feel that all those gifts are there. And as I'm tuning into her, I'm tuning into her ancestors on the other side of life believe that she has that gift. And in a way, it's her responsibility to develop those gifts. You know, when we are given a gift, we're all given a very specific gift that we can use to navigate ourselves through life. And I believe that gift is calling her. So I didn't mean to make it so long, but that's obviously the inspiration that I get. Okay. So go ahead.
I'm sorry. We just had a caller named Mike from Tampa, and he wanted to talk to you about some spiritual development questions that he had.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you there with us, Mike?
Yeah. Hey, John.
Hey, hi, how you
going?
How's it going? Let me check. I'm okay.
Okay. I had some questions for you.
Go ahead.
In your development, waking up energetically, going through different awakenings, cleaning up as you came across stuff in your energy body, and then growing up and integrating that, how did you work through that process?
Well, how I worked through the process is I was quite disciplined, actually. For instance, when I learned how to meditate way back in 1972, I did it, you might almost say I did it religiously. I always did it. You know, when I went to a spiritualist community, they studied for 7 summers at a place called Chesterfield, Indiana. I went to class every single day. I did my yoga twice a day. So I always come back to focusing my mind, focus like the mantra. So like if you have a mantra, you know, you say your mantra, and you drift off somewhere else, and you, but if you always come back to the mantra, okay? So I always came back to the disciplines. I always came back to the meditation. And that's how I still am working and struggling with that because I'm human. But that's how I stay focused, is always come back to your spiritual practices. Well, Mike, let me ask you a question. What if I return the question and ask you, how does that work in your life? There are people out there that are growing just like us. How does that work in your life, Mike?
I like you, I do different practices. Like, for instance, last night, I wanted to run this by you. This is prior to meditating, but
okay.
the bald eagle showed up. And a lot of times when I'm meditating now, the great horned owl will show up, and I'll hear him hooting outside, and then I'll go outside.
So that's what the indigenous people with our brothers and North American brothers and sisters believe very much that like different totems or different animals will come and visit us, and they believe that the different guides can inspire different animals to come and visit us just to let them know that we're around. So now, what does the symbol of the owl mean to you as an individual?
Well, I think it means being able to see in the dark, being able
That's
to
beautiful.
See different aspects in the unseen.
Okay.
And the
That's
eagle.
Good.
The eagle to me means spiritual power. According to the Native Americans, this was the Great Spirit. So spiritual power and illumination, healing
That's
power
beautiful.
And creation.
That's beautiful.
By the way, I wanted to touch on something you had mentioned earlier.
Go ahead.
You had talked about mind mapping, and
yes.
there was a fella, Tony Buzan. I don't know if you knew him, but he wrote some books on that mind mapping, where he did you know Tony?
No, but actually Tony Robbins, you know, very well known Tony Robbins, you know,
right.
NLP. He talks about mind mapping, and the study goes back to, there's a famous hypnotist called Erickson. Erickson was his name.
Yeah, the psychologist or psychologist.
And he could look at a person, and he knew exactly what to say to put the person into a trance, and he wanted to know, how does this man know this skill? And so what several of them did is that they moved in with him. They ate what he ate. They got up when he got up. They went to bed when he went to bed. They read the book that he read. They found out all his belief systems. And then guess what? They mind mapped him, and then they started to develop the same skill. So mind mapping means copying someone else. For instance, here at Lilydale, if you see a medium working that you like, if you listen to them talk and you find out what their disciplines are, and you observe them when they're doing their gifts, and you copy them, basically you will develop the same skill, and that's what mind mapping is, and so that's what the teacher does. For instance, Mike, you know, for instance, if I've noticed a lot of different mediums here that are coming to Lilydale and they're working, and you could always, most of the time, you could tell who their teachers are. Because they start giving messages and they start working in the way that their teacher does, because they mind map them. And as time goes on, they develop their own skills. But that's also with writing and artistic work and even poetry And so it's, you know, you study with the person, you figure out how they do it, you know, you copy them, and then you tree off of that. So that's
right.
What
I've often actually heard that about a lot of writers, that the writers say that the people that they learned how to write sometimes visit them, whether they're writing a novel or they're writing, the book gets written through them.
I believe that very much. Sometimes when I'm doing inspirational speaking, there's a teacher, a brilliant man, whose name is John Rosner, who was the head of the religion department at Concordia University. And
We've talked about John before.
Yeah, he was a genius. He is a genius. And sometimes
you visited John since he passed away, John? Have you visited him?
No, he has visited me several times. Yeah, he has visited me. And sometimes when I'm giving a talk, in the manner that I'm talking, in the body language that I'm using, I say, oh, my God, John's here. You know, so I end up channeling John.
Wow.
So basically, it's almost like in a spiritual way, like I'm mind mapping him. Okay? And so you have like a portal
or a channel that's open, and he comes in through that circuit through you.
Yeah. Well, I was one of his students a long time ago, and I had a great respect and a love for him, and also his wife, who is still physically in the world, and so there was a lot of respect there. And he was also very much interested in spiritualism and phenomena. He's the one that basically invited the Dalai Lama to come to Montreal, and they used to travel throughout India to go visit all the different spiritual masters.
And his wife was very talented too.
Oh yeah, she still is. I'm actually vice president of her organized. I'm vice president of the Spiritual Science Fellowship, and that's her wife and John, they're the ones that created that, and he made me an honorary vice president. Mike, for the people out there, can you tell us a brief story, because we don't have too much time left, when you feel as though you were inspired by someone in the spirit, or that when you were mind mapping their energy?
Well, I've studied a lot of different traditions over the years, and as I do the practice, I do different things. Like, I'll actually take pictures, you know, like I think it's Reverend Sharon down here when you were down here at the Cosmic Center.
Okay.
You know the pictures that she has around the inside of the building?
Yes.
I'll take pictures of these saints and mystics and angels, and I'll put them on the underneath my feet and on my hands while I'm doing the meditation, or Christ, or a variety of different, and then I'll feel a great heat come in through my hands, or even coming up my legs, the vibration. So I feel like I'm actually hooking in to their energy as I do the meditation.
That's beautiful. You know, one of my hobbies is spiritual poetry. Some of my favorite poems are like Cahil Gibran, the Prophet, Some of the classics like Robert Frost and definitely Rumi. And sometimes when I'm saying my poetry, I actually believe, I feel the presence of those different beings inspiring me. So we all have different ways of expressing the spirit, and I'm really glad that you brought that up about mind mapping. Because that's exactly how you study with someone else. That's exactly how you
develop those skills in yourself. Well, Mike, thanks a lot for calling us tonight. We always enjoy your inspiration and your knowledge. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, well,
thank
great
you.
Talking to you, John. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay,
so
next
here we are.
So we have,
go ahead.
We have a caller from Buffalo. His name is Kevin, and Kevin just had a few spiritual questions for you.
Okay, go ahead,
Kevin. Are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes. I work at this one building, and I guess this building is like really, really, really old. I was wondering, like, and usually, sometimes I hear a few things at nighttime while I'm here. Because I stay here overnight, and I was wondering, like, if there's really anyone in here but like, the people I know.
Okay. You know, if you could tell me the address of the building, I can intuitively go visit it. What is the address of the building?
726 Exchange Street.
In Buffalo?
Yeah.
Okay, let me go there. I'm going way back in time. This feels like a very old building. Is this a very old building?
Yeah.
Because I'm going way back to, oh, my God, like almost like when, not quite Model T Ford, but way back when, okay? Before the second World War. Okay, maybe closer to the first World War. And I get a feeling it's some of the people who actually worked there, okay? A long time ago, they used to have something called the watchman. A watchman would basically go to different stations of the building to see that everything is safe, okay? So
okay.
I get a feeling that there's a watchman there that still oh, my goodness. Okay, that still roams around. This may sound unusual to you, but I think he liked to drink just a little bit, okay? And I get a feeling. Oh, he feels. I don't. He feels like he's Irish, actually. Okay. And I get a feeling that he used to love to drink, and he would wander around, and he would, you know, he'd be the watchman, and sometimes he would just sleep there. So that's one of the people that were there. Now, when you're there, well, let me ask you a question. Do you feel the person that you feel, did you feel it was a male or female energy there? What is your conception?
A female.
A female. Okay.
Yes.
You know, as soon as you say female, I sense a lady who was pregnant. Okay? I get a feeling a lady who was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Now, with such a building, there was obviously lots of people that would have been there, okay? I get a feeling, I'm also getting a feeling that there was homeless people who, by the way, putting it, people who didn't have a home that used to hang out there also. Go ahead.
What was this building for back in the day?
I can't hear you, Mike.
What was this person like this building for back in the day?
Okay, I'm sorry, but I can't hear you. Speak nice and slowly.
What was this building for back in the day?
Okay, I don't know. But I do feel I'm sorry, the show is coming to an end. I do feel as though that your perception is actually very good. They just find that place a very comforting place. Sorry, Mike, but we do have to go. Thank you very much for calling us. Thank you. Okay, good. So Joyce, are you there?
Yes,
okay,
I'm here.
So 10 seconds, Joyce. Thank you for being on board with us tonight. We know that you're in Boston. And you're doing your thing with your the John of God healing bed. And thank you for being with us, Joyce, tonight. And we thank you all the guests that have been with us.
Okay.
And join
thank
us
you very
next
much.
Week, Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. for another edition of Journey of Light.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye now.